The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. I'm stoked. Bitcoin is going well. ETH is going well. That is good. And I spoke today to a French guy, André Pitre, and I'm starting a French show next week. Tuesday, of course, too bad for you guys who speak only English. You won't be able to follow on that show, but it will be amazing. It will be a Courrier du Coeur, basically a heart counseling show with call-ins and people asking help about their couples. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fun. And this guy knows what he's doing. He's been a right-wing kind of independent media type of guy in Quebec. I've not watched much of his stuff, but I've been excited at his professionalism. And I know he's a good guy. I know he understands media. And he's going to be the host, and I'm going to be the kind of scientist commenting on the psychology. It's going to be an interesting dynamic. It will start at once a week. And then we'll see if there's interest. We may increase the frequency. Larry Fisherman says, I suspect technical issues. No, not with this guy. There's no technical issue. He's a very good guy. He has a whole studio that he calls Lux Media. And he's been doing, he's been doing things in French, in Montreal, street interviews sometimes. But there won't be technical issues. I know he's good at handling this kind of thing. Finally, we have Candace Owens. Candace Owens came out with her evidence finally, because it's like, what was the purpose of lingering on this data? There was a claim by her that there's incontrovertible evidence that Charlie Kirk had abandoned the Israeli cause exactly 48 hours before being shot. That is very interesting. I said big if true. Big if true, but we want the discussion. We want to know if there's ways of interpreting it alternatively. We want to be able to verify the truth of it. So for all these reasons, I don't understand why Candace waited. Was it some kind of strategy to get people to lie? But it's like, people don't necessarily lie. People may not have access to this Telegram conversation by Charlie. So it's, even if you were to ask people to comment before you reveal the evidence, maybe they don't know about that evidence. So it was a weird behavior journalistically, but I'm happy today we can finally look at the evidence. Let's listen to Candace. She was live like maybe 40 minutes ago and just publishing this.
Say, Rob McCoy was on this text thread, and I think it helps contextualize him as a person, in my view, that he would attack me for telling the truth about the pressure that he was facing. Take a look. So Charlie writes in this group chat, just lost another huge Jewish donor, $2 million a year, because we won't cancel Tucker. I'm thinking of inviting Candace. Somebody writes, ugh. Charlie writes, Jewish donors play into all of the stereotypes. I cannot and will not be bullied like this, leaving me no choice but to leave the pro-Israel cause. Then somebody writes, a donor writes, please do not invite Candace. That might feel good short term, but it's not good long term. in my opinion, like all groups, you're going to get a wide variety of opinions. That nasty free will thing that God bestowed on us makes life frustrating at times after the dust settles a bit, maybe. So again, this is 48 hours before Charlie Kirk was assassinated. He was.
So very interesting. We now know that there was this pressure on Charlie Kirk. They were telling him, don't invite Candace, don't get Tucker on. They were trying to cancel Tucker and Candace. And Charlie Kirk made a stand of principle and said, no, I'm going to invite them more. I'm going to, and if you're telling me you don't like me inviting Candace, I'm thinking about inviting her. So we now know that there was a change of heart and a solid reversal to the point of saying, leaving me no choice but to leave the pro-Israel cause. Wow. That is big. It's still not evidence that Israel is implicated in the murder of Charlie Kirk. But now we have a whole branch of people who had 48 hours, over 48 hours, knew that Charlie Kirk was saying explicitly, I'm not pro-Israel anymore. I have no choice but to leave the pro-Israel cause. Now, that doesn't mean he would have been anti-Israel, but it would mean that he would be neutral on the issue going forward. He was tired of having to kneel to Jewish donors who were putting their pressures in. I'm not streaming on YouTube. Oh, sorry, guys. Sorry, guys. I have forgotten to click the button. Let me try it. This, you know, Rumble starts automatically. YouTube starts with a go live button, and because I'm new, it's new for me to be back to YouTube. I forget to click the button. So let's see if I can get that button on. See, the button doesn't show up. Go live. I want to go live. All right, we should now be live on YouTube. Sorry, the people who were awaiting us on YouTube. I started the show and I thought I was on two platforms, but I had forgotten to click the go live button on YouTube. Now we should be live on both platforms. Yeah, I do have to work it in my mind because Rumble goes live automatically when I click go live. YouTube, I have to click manually. I thought I was on two platforms. And then I have to also end the show at the end of the show. And I often forget. It will be a habit that comes back. It's just that I'm back to YouTube recently and it hasn't been integrated, yes, in my habits. So let us have a look at what Candace has released. So Candace has released a set of messages showing that Charlie Kirk had abandoned the Israel cause 48 hours before being killed. So you have Charlie Kirk saying, just lost another huge Jewish donor, $2 million a year because we won't cancel Tucker. I'm thinking of inviting Candace. Some of his staff says, ooh. Charlie Kirk says, Jewish donors play into all of the stereotypes. I cannot and will not be bullied like this, leaving me no choice but to leave the pro-Israel cause. And that is a massive statement. That is a very important statement. And apparently there were people in that chat that were enough pro-Israel to even continue, despite him saying, I'm leaving the pro-Israel cause, that they continued the pressure. Someone apparently on the chat, on the group chat that he was, may have been a donor, may have been an influencer, a handler of some sort, said, please don't invite Candace. That might feel good short term, but it's not good long term, in my opinion. Like all groups, you're going to get a wide variety of opinions. That nasty free will thing that God bestowed upon us makes life frustrating at times. After the dust settles a bit, maybe. So this is very interesting. The subversion of this handler here is very clear. I mean, invoking Christian values of Charlie Kirk, saying, I understand that you may be struggling right now. You feel that you have free will, but follow the Jewish donor's orders. Don't follow your heart. It's a terrible thing that God gave us in giving us free will. That is a Jew talking about Christianity. That is not Christian values right there. It's like, oh yeah, free will is a hard burden. And I understand you may want to use your freedom right now because you've been very annoyed at these donors that are bending your will, but listen to the Jewish donors. Wow. So we see it right there. We see what Charlie Kirk was under. He had lost so much money to these pressures and to standing by principle that he was like, I'm done. We'll just ignore. This is not a branch of money that will be available to us in the future because it's money that comes with too many conditions. And he was ready to keep riding without being pro-Israel. Now, that is that does not mean necessarily that he would go anti-Israel. He could have been neutral. He could have, but going forward, he wouldn't back Israel on everything, and he would be questioning Israel and not be pro-Israel. So that is very big. It's very big in terms of analyzing the set of causes that could have led to more and more people being aware of that change that was coming, and to perhaps more and more people who could have benefited from the death of Charlie Kirk. And Candace is right. You know, although I've been critical of her for making these statements for 2 weeks without publishing the evidence, there's no reason why this evidence shouldn't have been published 2 weeks ago. Because I can't make a judgment on a claim without the evidence. The evidence must be there so that we can interpret the words. Because we have seen before Candace over-interpret tweets by Nick Fuentes, over-interpret what a letter could or could not reveal before she saw it. And so I couldn't just trust Candace on her words. I needed to have this clear message here from Charlie Kirk, and I believe it to be authentic. I have no reason to believe that this is faked or not true. So it's going to be interesting to trace who was in that discussion group. Because I don't think that we are yet at the point where we can say Israel is involved in the Tyler Robinson act of murder against Charlie Kirk. But we have here hypotheses developing, and we have a funnel through which a certain subset of people would have known that Charlie Kirk had veered against Israel. Now, we need to study these branches and how they relate to how would they get to Tyler Robinson. Were some of the Jewish donors pressuring Charlie Kirk, or some of the people in the group chat, even those who stayed silent? And yes, there was Josh Ammer in the chat. People are discussing this, yes. Were some of these people connected to Tyler Robinson or to the group of individuals, LGBT ideologues that hung out at the house of Lance Twiggs 2 weeks before? Or did they have contacts on the internet, perhaps not 2 weeks before, but maybe within the 48 hours preceding the murder? Those are things that we need to establish that will go beyond a qui bono analysis. It's one thing to know, okay, there was basis for certain Jewish donors to be pissed off at Charlie. They were not happy with him not bending. They were not happy with the direction he was taking. And he had bravado in this group chat. He told some of them, or at least he told it to a bunch of staff and close allies of TPUSA in a way that it would certainly spread. Like, who took a screenshot of this, you think, leaving me no choice but to leave the pro-Israel cause? Don't you think this has been taken as a screenshot by people? Don't you think the Jewish donors always have their people on staff in the organizations that they fund? Some staff must have been taking a screenshot of this and warned a lot of people, potentially, could have warned a lot of people about, hey, we're losing Charlie Kirk. He's off the plantation. He's a man gone his own way, a Christian, a loose Christian. So very interesting. We'll see how it develops. We'll see how the people in that group chat react this week to this publication by Candace. But I'm very happy that Candace finally published this evidence. Go Away says, so how much of the show did we miss? I'm only here for the Taylor Swift content, to be honest. No worries, because I kind of just repeated what I was saying. One thing I did announce at the beginning of the show, which is what you missed, is I will have a French show, Courrier du Coeur, with Dr. Gariepi. It will be a call-in love line where French people from Quebec call in to get counseling on couple and about sex and about biology. So I will be expressing my views on the sexual dynamics on the show. I think it's going to be awesome. But it's going to be in French. So if you don't speak French, too bad. You're not going to have access to this content. Go Away says, my Jewish donors just told me I should use my free will to stop watching until JF stops talking about Candace and starts talking about Taylor Swift. Well, what an exemplar of freedom. You are a man of freedom. Now, someone says, I need to send screenshots to JF. Okay, people were sending me message saying we're not live on YouTube, but we are now live, so you're going to get the full show. Nothing would have been missed. Alien DNA found inside humans. I don't believe this article. It was inserted into our genes, Bunker's new study claims. So basically, there's a bunch of people who have looked into people who claim to have been abducted by aliens, and they are looking at their 23andMe. And because 23andMe, very often people will have the genes of their parents and grandparents in the system. They looked at, are there sequences that have been injected into these people? Are there sequences that are non-parental? And the study claims that they have found from 581 families of genes from the genome of families from the Genomes Project, from the 1000 Genomes Project, they found 348 non-parental genetic variants, they say. Subjects were born before 1990. This ruled out gene editing technologies like CRISPR. So they're claiming that basically the people who say they've been abducted by aliens, they've been abducted by aliens. and the aliens injected non-parental genes in them. I believe it's bullshit. It's a study that hasn't been peer-reviewed yet. So even if I don't trust the peer review system, it hasn't even got through that low filter that the peer review is. I'm sure there's errors. I'm sure the people making those... and we don't even have the length. Like 348 non-parental genetic variants, okay. How long? Because people have mutations. People have all sorts of accidents that happen to their genome. And and you have to compare to a control group to show me this is enormously bigger than what most people would have on average. You also have to study the hypothesis that perhaps yes, people claiming to be abducted by aliens are weirdos and they have different genes and perhaps they have more genetic accidents in general than the average population. Maybe they're more schizo, maybe they end up exposing themselves to more risks, maybe they end up living lives with less layers of protection and they end up being genetically mutated, not by aliens, but by their lifestyle. So those are all scientific controls that you would need before you conclude anything about this. All right, we have another kook hypothesis. Jordan Crowder says Atlas 3i is a seed, not a craft. It's rich in cyanide compounds that it's delivering to Mars as we speak. Mars has very little oxygen and is the perfect blank garden for these prebiotic seeds of life. I expect the next official image of 3i to be more bluish, showing that it's shedding its cyanide prebiotic compounds. The trajectory of this object is no mistake. It's incredibly precise. So, interesting theory that this object flies so close to Mars that it wouldn't be a natural event. It would be an intentional, engineered event. So let's look at the trajectory of the object here. So you have 3i Atlas. Look at this, passing by. Just like an alien civilization that would want to drop something onto Mars. Or maybe they were even trying to collide with Mars. And then, up using the orbit of the solar system to get toward Jupiter. And look, it also crosses pretty close to Jupiter. So it's like people are looking at this and they are hypothesizing an intentional direction, like this is something, if a civilization out there was to look at the solar system, they would want to approach it, they would want to get close to maybe Mars, and then maybe Jupiter, they would take that perfect path. That's interesting. I mean, intentionality in the entry of a solar system, very hard to have certainty on a statement like this. But probabilistically, you can do a lot of things. Probabilistically, you can say maybe that has a 1% chance of being intentional or 99% chance of being intentional. I think in the end, you can always have a natural object that happens because it's like how many meteorites, comets, objects of all kind do we catch many of them? How many of them will have that unlikely trajectory? Some of them will by random. Go away says Agio equals Australian Security Intelligence Organization. When they found out how respected I am in the JFG community, they got me out of jail early for reasons. Well, I'm glad that we got you out of jail. I didn't know. Happy that you are free. Go away. La Révolution Culturelle avec Yann Rochdy says, in the name of Jesus Christ, we decreed a moratory on conspiracy theories during the last episode of the New Inquisition. That's true. I called out enough of the conspiracy theories. I don't believe this genetic alien crap. I don't believe this theory of a prebiotic seed being implanted onto Mars. I believe most likely those are all delusions. Plapides says, those orbits make it impossible for any material transfer. Yeah, there are certainly not orbits that, you know, start revolving around Mars. That would be that would be an intentional orbit that you have much time to do your drop. But who knows, you know? In principle, alien technology, alien thinking may be different. Maybe they don't need our types of orbits to have the time to do something useful. oh, man. Women are totally out of control.
If you're offended by minorities talking about their lived experiences, you're the problem. If you're offended by women saying they're afraid of men, you're the problem. If you're immediately reprimanding instead of listening and understanding, if you're offended by people's lived experiences, you're the problem. Oh!
She's not even consistent in her song. So she's talking about the lived experience of minorities. Well, men are a minority because they die earlier. So we're less numerous in society than females. Therefore, we are a minority with a lived experience. And then our other verse is, so at first you should listen to us. We are a minority with lived experience, males. Now in our second verse, she's mentioning women being afraid of males and they have to be able to express their fear. Well, that is sexist hatred. And as a male, I have the lived experience of experiencing that hatred. And so you are contradictory in your own song. You are failing to listen to my lived experience.
If you're offended by minority.
And the fakery of this, it's like lips, makeup, fake enthusiasm. What the fuck is happening to women?
He's talking about their lived experiences. You're the problem. If you're offended by women saying they're afraid of men, you're the problem. If you're immediately reprimanding instead of listening and understanding, if you're offended by people's lived experiences, you're the problem.
The way she stuffs these words. Disgusting the way. Yeah, too many words in leftist memes. Check. Yes. Yes. But I mean, this is what's happening in the city where females have taken over and it's going to be very dark. I mean, these cities will be populated by these men hating just lip-filled, aging woman. Like, this is going to be a problem down the line. Now she's cute. I'm sure she can get any boyfriend she wants. In 20 years down the line, these women, they won't be doing good. They won't be doing good. Plapides says, please, Jeff, don't force us to listen to this. Why do you torture us so? But if you'd like to support the show, use the streamlabs.com/JFGtonight/tip. It is my favorite platform for receiving super chats for the show. Streamlabs super chats are enabled today. The dark age isn't coming. We are already in it. Jordan Peterson is in the hospital. Well, he may be out of the hospital. He's recovering slowly. Recovering slowly day by day, as described by his daughter. But it's like, we don't even have an explanation for what he has. And it looks like it could be the vaccine. That's why I raised this hypothesis. I mean, a whole family, her newborn, ends up having a heart attack at 6 weeks old. Her grandfather, well, her father, Jordan Peterson, is in the bed because he has multiple inflammatory syndromes that attack his whole body. That is mysterious in terms of its cause. We are in the dark. And she comes with the explanation that it's evil spirits. We're really in the dark age. We're really like when these people didn't know what's happening to them and the medicine was making them worse. And they had all these spiritual explanations for their wrong, for their issues. We are in the dark ages. Absolutely. Look at this.
Hey, guys. I have an update on my dad. I'm actually just going to read this. It's on my teleprompter because this is too hard to explain off the cuff, so I wrote it out.
There's always a lack of emotion in Michaela Peterson. There's always this. She makes me think a lot about Ashley St. Clair. You know, when these girls appear publicly, they don't emotionally connect with the audience. They're delivering just stuff that they read. Very unnatural. You can't build a reliable long-term audience with this kind of emotional coldness. Now, sure, you can make yourself look good enough, and if you're a female, you're going to get clicks. You're going to get clicks, but people will not connect with you emotionally.
Summer's been exceedingly difficult. Dad was in an ICU suffering from pneumonia and sepsis after dealing with a host of neurological issues this summer that we believe stem from SIRS, which is chronic inflammatory response syndrome due to decades of mold exposure. We don't have a better explanation for his neurological symptoms at the moment other than spiritual attacks. He's been suffering for the
Welcome to the dark ages. Spiritual attacks.
Last number of years with unexplainable neuropathy and weakness amongst other symptoms, but they worsened this summer after he cleaned out his parents' basement after his dad, my grandpa, passed away. We weren't able to communicate with Dad really all of September. During the end of the pneumonia, he was diagnosed with critical illness polyneuropathy, which we're hoping is critical illness myopathy, which is bad enough. That's been heartbreaking and brutal on top of everything else. But after almost a month in the ICU, he's been moved out to a less urgent floor. Praise God for that. We're still in the midst of this, but now we're seeing improvements daily. The timeline for his full recovery is hard to tell at the moment, and I'll update everyone when we have more information. My family's asking for prayers. Like I said, this summer's been exceedingly difficult and terrifying. Dad's condition is complicated by the fact he can't take most medications without suffering from severe paradoxical reactions, which limits treatment options. Like I mentioned, I believe there's a spiritual element at play here. I think a lot of people have felt it in the last few weeks and months. It's been hitting my dad and my family hard this summer. In August, the day Dad was brought to a hospital by ambulance, my newborn Audrey was also brought to a hospital by ambulance within hours of each other. It was unbelievable. This was the second time this summer we had brought Audrey to the hospital after she almost died from near heart failure at 6 weeks old. That is exceedingly rare, and they couldn't find a cause for. She was diagnosed with idiopathic pulmonary hypertension, which seems to have resolved, praise God. But it's not something that happens.
It's not something that happens, she says, and therefore she attributes it to a spiritual attack, basically ghost overing over her family, making sure that they are bad circumstances for everyone at the same time. This is the Dark Ages where mysticism and all sorts of crazy belief come to dominate. And in a way, it's okay that they do because medicine isn't offering so much better. It's like in Dark Ages, the medicine is bad. The science is bad on what the officials want you to take. And the mystic explanation is equally bad. Everything becomes bad in an age of opposition to science, of non-science. I don't know what to do with this. I think it will happen that we will be in a increasingly irrational world. I don't think we can fix this, and not with persuasion, because we expanded the population so much without any form of genetic selection for so long. And I mean by that, any form of genetic selection that would improve the population, increase intelligence, Meanwhile, we have farmed into our population, dependence on the state, dependence on institutions, on authorities, so much so that people don't think for themselves anymore. They give themselves to whatever the doctor says, and sometimes it's bad with vaccines and stuff. Plepides says, could this illness just be a cover story for Jordan Peterson getting updated Asbera MK Ultra programming while in a coma in Silvosibirsk? Could be, but I don't know that Jordan needs any other layer of Asbera MK Ultra programming. I think he's I think he's maxed out. I don't think you can make him more pro-Israeli. Certainly, he took a different direction than Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk decided that he was done with the pro-Israel cause. Jordan Peterson has been riding on it forever. And I don't know about the investment that the Daily Wire did in him, because it may look good for the Daily Wire to have bought out this guy, you know, a couple of years ago when he joined the Daily Wire officially. But in the end, he didn't have much energy left in him. And he's not been producing that much content when you look at him. And when you look at these extensive periods where he's addicted to drug or recovering from coma, I don't think it was a very productive deal in the end. I think Jordan Peterson is pretty much done in terms of what he can contribute. He's too old anyways, and he's seeing the world really move in a direction that he can't control, and he's going to be part of these old school people who, unlike Charlie Kirk, kneeled to Israeli interest because it's all that their boober mind could do. They were limited. They were not understanding that they were supporting the state that is now engaged in a genocide. Go away, says, lol, true. He cleaned a room and it almost killed him. Should retitle his book 12 Rules of Death. That is something I hadn't realized. Jordan Peterson is currently in the hospital for cleaning a room. Cleaning a room of mold. Well, that's their explanation. I don't know if that's the actual cause. I think it must be very hard to know what is the actual cause. And it can be combinations of causes. Sometimes you're exposed to mold, and the mold isn't that dramatic, but combined with other factors and your own immune responses, and now it becomes dramatic. We need to talk about this girl who comments on Taylor Swift, and she went viral. And it's been going on for about 2 or 3 days. And initially, I didn't watch her video because I was like, woman. I was like, probably woman commenting on Taylor Swift. I'm not watching this. But today, someone in the Discord server told me, Jeff, you have to watch this. And I decided to make the show today about it because this is the kind of witch that is detecting a detachment between Taylor Swift and the left, but she's detecting it so early that I hope you use her as a reference for, use this woman right here as a reference for just how insane the left feminist anti-male bigots are. For them, the mere idea of, oh, what, you're going to have a husband? Oh, what, you're going to love your husband? Ooh, wow, you're a conservative now. You're a fascist. This woman will show you just how fine they are at detecting this. And women communicate among each other, and they are alarmed when they see other women showing signs that they can offer any sort of happiness to a man, because that, they got to you. What? You want to make your husband happy? What? You want to You want to dedicate your life to making babies for him? What? You're not disappointed by him or not trying to nag him down? Just these observations have led this woman to conclude Taylor Swift is a conservative now. But I don't mean real conservative. I mean, she is detaching from the hateful bigots of the left and therefore for them. She's just she might as well just register as a Republican voter.
Taylor Swift is handing the conservative agenda on a silver platter to the masses. And before I go any further, and before you argue with me, you cannot convince me that the master lyricist of our generation, akin to Shakespeare, the Easter egg master of our generation, is not aware of what her entire optics and lyrics and album and everything is giving at this very moment.
Let us recapitulate here. This girl thinks, okay, Taylor Swift is such an expert of little Easter egg and little insinuations and lyrics. She's hiding, she's packaging conservatism into her new album and her new behavior at the moment, okay? At the moment, right now, okay? And, you know, Taylor Swift has been an expert of swindling money away from these desperate leftist feminist women who have lost their own sense of their own nature. And they are single or they are divorced and they are separated and they're single moms in these developed liberal cities. And their life makes no sense, but yet they work and they have money so they can buy the Taylor Swift CD and they can go to the Taylor Swift concert to be surrounded by women exactly like them, wearing these perfect dresses for sexy, office presence and showing their dedication to basically being cogs of the capitalist machine rather than moms, rather than good moms. Taylor Swift has been making a fortune on these women. Have you ever looked at the camera rolling on a Taylor Swift concert? It's all these women, 35, 38, kind of not totally ugly, beautiful, have a job, but they don't have a husband with them. They are going to the Taylor Swift concert to yell and scream with other females. They have adopted the gynocratic ensemble. The whole, we live in female groups and We sometimes hunt for sperm for one or two babies, but then we get the divorce quick and we move on. This woman is exactly that type. Now she's alarmed because she's hearing things from Taylor Swift that are alarming to her. They're too loving.
Before you suggest that this was supposed to be a satirical album, I would like to remind you how she feels about this album in her own words.
World to me to have this creative experience where, like, we knew that we had to bring the best ideas we've ever had.
Yeah.
And I know, I also know the pressure I'm putting on this record by saying that, but I don't care because I love it that much. Huh. There's not other ones coming. This is the record I've been wanting to make for a very long time.
I'm trying to rapid fire this as fast as I can so that my video is not an hour long, but we're going to start with the rollout of the album, the announcement of the album on our Boyfriend's Football Podcast. Our boyfriend who plays for the NFL, who we are now aligning our brand with.
This woman is like a boyfriend, okay? We're talking about a boyfriend. She has a boyfriend from the NFL. That is the new brand. That is what you get with Taylor Swift now. It's like, wow, woman, you feel entitled to Taylor Swift being a forever female, sterilized gynocrat. You want her to forever be unhappy, just as unhappy as you are in your little ugly apartment that you pay every month for just to keep rolling at your fucking jobs in a fucking useless city.
Who is one of the most racist and problematic industries in our country.
So now NFL, there's the racist connection. Taylor Swift, by joining the NFL through her marriage, she is now siding with racism because the NFL is one of the most racist organizations.
Listen, I don't know how long Taylor Swift's been doing this, but I know it's been a pretty good amount of time. She's worked pretty hard for her career. But why are we sharing what you are saying is the best piece of work you've ever put out, and you're going to share it with a man?
Yes, believe it or not, that used to be called marriage. And it's still what the vast majority of men want. They want their wealth to be serving their family. Now, this has become impossible because of you, divorcee professionals. You who keep breaking your commitments. You who keep breaking all the relationships you're engaged in. Now, because of that, men had to withdraw, and we have to hide our bitcoins, and we have to not display our full wealth to any of you. But what Taylor Swift is doing, the idea of splitting the ownership and sharing it with the wealth of the family, with her husband, is exactly how marriage should function. Healthy marriage, which you'll never get.
You're going to announce it with this is where the optics are starting. We are creeping our way down the conservative pipeline.
Down the conservative pipeline. For loving a boyfriend, now you have bad optics. Bad optics. Not single mom, not separated, not divorcee. Bad optics. Conservative pipeline. Creeping down.
Before you say that's a reach, I'm not done. We all know what's coming next. The engagement. They got engaged as a package deal with the album rollout. Yes, they did. The album was...
Of course, that makes total sense. The splitting of business fruits in the couple, for the good of the family and for the good of the common property of the couple. We can't have this anymore because women are too crazy. But maybe Taylor Swift is good enough. Maybe Taylor Swift and her NFL boyfriend will get through it and they will share ownership of loyalty rights and the money that will come from it. Beautiful couple move there.
Announced, and what, 1 day later, 2 days later, it was announced that they were engaged. We talk about how manufactured that is. We could talk about how inauthentic it is.
There's nothing more authentic than actual love with backings behind it, saying, you know, we will share the goods and the bads that come from this album. It will be our common property. It will benefit our children. That is the building of an actual working family.
We could also talk about how it is yet another step towards the conservative pipeline.
Yeah, the conservative pipeline being marriage. It used to be that it wasn't considered that marriage was strictly a conservative thing. It was just a normal thing. But yet, one moment. I guess that in 2025, we have to identify marriage and sharing of family burdens and wealth as a conservative concept.
Now, if you're unaware about her history with the Orange Man, he didn't like her very much. He, in all caps, I hate Taylor Swift. She's a childless cat lady. I want you to bank that for later in the video. But once this engagement happened, we had a public statement put out by Pumpkin Man. And he said, wow, Taylor Swift, you know what? She's a great person. She's a terrific person even.
There you go. She is being rewarded for taking her place in the world because in constant opposition to Trumpism and to republicanism and constantly being on the abortion talking points. And, you know, Taylor Swift has been split on this internally. We've seen some documentaries and some clips of her where interviewers are trying to get her on the politics. And she gets told by her own dad not to engage in anything politics. And then she becomes emotional and goes on the stage and talks against Trump. and talks against and talks for abortion and the right of body control for women, whatever, however they phrase it, you know, the right for a woman to determine what happens with her body. So Taylor Swift has been very shyly approaching any political subject, but when she did, it was very Democrat, it was very pro-abortion, typical stuff. Now she's under the influence of a strong male, an NFL player, Chad, and so so she sees that it's a turnaround, that it could mean that they can't count on her anymore.
And I'm very happy for them. I wish them best in their marriage.
No, you don't. Well, okay, that's what Trump says. But you certainly don't. Best luck in their marriage. Ooh. Oh, that's conservative. Luck in their marriage? They want them to be happy?
Okay. Now, I'm not claiming that Taylor Swift can control what that man says or that they are partnering in these words. No, I'm not saying that. But the U.S. has a history of using pop culture to further a political agenda. She's doing what he wants everyone else to do, is to get married and have white babies.
Exactly, which is good.
I do know that she can control is the music that she puts out. And I'm just going to jump right into it. Canceled is an anthem for those who are over being politically correct. And we're breaking down the wall of shame.
Yes, because that's all you got. All you got is shame to push your political agenda. And there's currently a turning point, really. And the death of Charlie Kirk might be remembered historically as truly this turning point. You guys are about to start losing a little bit. It's not that the march of the left doesn't continue, and I will not be satisfied with whatever the right does, because it's not going to be right-wing enough. But in general, your grasp onto society has reached its peak, and now it's falling. You will be losing the ability to shame through woman tactics people, because when you get Taylor Swift, a pop star, identifying herself as canceled, it means that your cancel culture really has been reintegrated. It's been swallowed by the mainstream. Like, as a canceled man myself, I mean, I don't think that you can get more canceled than me. I'm really an untouchable in many ways. I mean, down to the point where people literally think that I'm a murderer. That's how canceled I am. Now, being canceled in 2015 was edgy. It was an edgy thing that I've done. And it was on the border of acceptability, social acceptability. And the themes I've touched upon have been shocking to people, and have led even YouTube to develop some of its rules. Some of the oppression of speech that we've seen from YouTube has been designed for people like me, early ticket buyers of the cancel culture. When Taylor Swift in 2025 writes the song "Canceled," that is not edgy. It is not violative. And it shows you that in the end, I win. In the end, the game that I've set for myself in 2015, saying I'm going to self-cancel, fuck it. I'm going to show everyone I don't give a shit. I'm going to self-cancel to tell the truth. And in a way, Taylor Swift captures this 10 years later in a song. That's a big win. It's a big win when the jokes and themes that we touched upon in 2017 is now featured in a Sydney Sweeney ad. So you have these women here who have specialized in being popular in cities through woman networks, Taylor Swift, Sydney Sweeney, you know, acquiring this whole leftist base of support, talking at times about women's body rights and abortion. But now they're veering a little more like me. Now they're touching a little more to the edge of society, which you have defined as a shameable direction. Your shame will not work anymore because of the groundwork we've done, canceling ourselves for 10 years and saying, yeah, you know what? Let's all be canceled. There will be no more female control onto politics when everyone is canceled, when literally everyone has said something that you want to shame them for. And eventually your psychological disturbance that leads you to want to expel people from society and from social networks, it will play against you. Your shame tactics do not work. They have lost their effectiveness because you've not been careful with them. You've been misusing them. You've been shutting down people who later were turned out to be right. John Drake says, JF, you could have had 10 times the BTC if you folded just a little bit. JF, so happy you didn't bend. I never bend. I never apologize, never committed a wrong in my life, and never apologized for a wrong that I have not committed. I have stood for you guys because to me it's so much more important, the legacy of a man unkneeled, unbounded. I will not submit to the gynocracy. I will not abandon male sovereignty to any of you bitches. Do you understand? Not a single one of you. Doesn't matter how much dick sucking you can do. I'm not abandoning. Never. I'm not bending on anything.
That it is, that it means to be canceled. Taylor Swift says it's okay now to be canceled, and that's actually cool. And maybe if I'm canceled, I could be her friend. See how that, see,
they're seeing the dynamics here. This girl, this leftist right here, just understood the gamification of cancel culture, which is what I've been working on for 10 years. I have created a little internet game. It's not a game you install on your computer. It's the game of life. And you cancel yourself. And you laugh at those canceling you. And you accumulate bitcoins more than them. And you gain support in your demonstration that the world is sick. Now, people have been playing this game a lot to the point where I'm not even the main guy of certain of the questions that I've been the first to brought onto the internet, like the question of Jewish power. I'm not anymore the biggest guy on this question. I'm not the show you go to just to hear about this specific subject. But the game I've been setting, a lot of people have stepped in it too. And now they become friends with each other and they say, oh, well, cancel culture isn't that strong. In fact, if anything, by canceling myself, I've been constantly been approached by people who were more like me. I've discovered networks of solidarity that I can count on, just like Shiloh Hendricks. You know, Shiloh Hendricks became richer being canceled. Isn't that wonderful? She did a GoFundMe after her use of the N-word, and she became richer. Friend of Gandalf is sending a super chat. Thank you so much for the support.
Given your contribution to the public space, an LLM could keep your mind alive forever, commenting on world events for hundreds of years. Your children will be able to consult with you even after your death. The sadness of death may be a thing of the past.
Yes, I believe there's lots of business possibilities in leaving a legacy on the internet. I've been encouraging Elon, why don't you offer a service where you commit to hosting our Twitter accounts forever? I would love to have a legacy where I can say, I could pay $1,000 to Elon. And okay, JF, we're going to keep your tweet, your ex alive, your ex account alive for 100 years or for whenever the ex company still lives. I would like to see this. I would totally buy that service. And yes, I do agree that AI could play a role. I like to think that I'm hard to imitate. I like to think that, you know, I've been asking AI, generate a JF tweet. And for now, it's still not JF. It's still it's still a little too formatted. It's still like, you can see that the AI tries to be provocative, but it cannot be as provocative as I am.
We're taking steps.
But thank you so much for the donation, friend of Gandalf. Donations are extremely appreciated. They help me keep going with the show.
When I first heard the lyric, "I'm not a bad bitch and I'm not a savage."
Oh, Taylor Swift has touched a button here. I'm not a bad bitch and I'm not a savage. I'm not going to give trouble to my husband. I'm not going to be wearing him down. I'm not going to be nagging him down. You're not a bad bitch. Oh, well, you're dropping us under the bus, Taylor. It doesn't work if all women aren't bad bitches at the same time. We all need to be bad bitches, because if one of us is a good wife, then she becomes more desirable. Then the whole communistic alliance falls, and then men can pick among us and they can pick the best wives. We can't be good to our husband, Taylor Swift.
If that is not the most dog whistle-y shit I've ever heard in my life.
So now it's a dog whistle to say you're not evil to your husband.
Life. Moving on to wish lists, let's take a moment for these lyrics. They want a fat ass and a baby face. They want freedom. They want three dogs they call their kids. But I just want you. Have a couple kids, have the whole block looking like you.
Whoa. Racial continuity. Oh, Taylor. Taylor, you are, this is based, this is pretty based. Have a couple of kids, got the whole block looking like you. Yeah, that is the goal of every healthy couple. You know, when I was going back to my grandma's house, every Sunday, we were seeing our uncles, our aunts, our nephews, the cousins, the second degree cousins. It was filling the house. That was great. And you would walk on the street and there would be your uncle there, and then your cousin there, and then your everyone, the whole family was dominating the block. Now this girl doesn't like this, because this means continuation of whiteness. By the way, is this girl with some interracial couple, or is she just alone?
And say that again. I want to have your white babies, and I actually want our entire neighborhood to be racially homogenous.
Exactly. Not only racially homogenous, they have to be your babies. You have to be such that you are a great-grandfather, and you can't record in your head the names of all of your hundreds of great-grandchildren. That is what success looks like.
She went through this entire thing with Trump, right? About how she and her fan base did not like being called childless cat ladies. And now Taylor is calling y'all childless cat ladies because she's about to pop out some kids.
There you go. You got betrayed. Your little communist system of gender revolution is over. You lose. You had to lose. Evolutionarily, you had to lose. Because look at your face. Look at your cute face. And look at mine. That cute face lasts 80 years. 80 years of constant insemination. I can roll over 200 women. I don't give a shit. That's my legacy. 80 years of insemination. Your cute face lasts 10 years. And the cycle of involvement of a woman in public speech lasts a decade maximum. Most of you will not last even a decade. So you don't have the time to plan for an intergenerational revolution. And anyways, your beliefs are so much fighting against your evolutionary interest that you would only lose if you could implement your gender revolt. You could only lose because you end up with not many babies. because you are triggered by the idea of having so many babies that the whole block looks like you. You are dysfunctional, you are self-eliminating, and you don't last very long. We are ready for a long legacy. We are ready for war, and you have attacked us. You have attacked the male presence in modern society. And you don't know the forces that you've unleashed. I mean, it barely began. Barely began. You'll see the next generation after Gen Z rising, they'll be fucking radical. I mean, they'll be wackos. I don't even want to be friends with them because they'll be fucking crazy. They'll be like Christian, deluded, just radical to a point where I will feel uncomfortable. This is what's coming. This is what's coming. And you're going to lose because you are a little cycle. You are just a little glitch in the matrix. We will retain this era where your speech dominated as the most ridiculous era of Western civilization. Chronic Boom says, no, Jeff, these lines are more racial. Bad bitch equals black term for hot chick. Savage, well, you know. Well, in any case, maybe it had a racial meaning. I believe that bad bitch also means, someone who can engage with streets level criminality or roughness. It means kind of a hot woman that is also street rough. That is how I see it. You can see it differently. Thank you for letting me know about the current urban definitions. Chronic Boom is my connection to the urban world.
And you know what's coming next? Taylor Swift line of baby product. You too could pop out some kids and live in a race.
Oh my God, is she worried about this? It's gonna happen. Like, it's mathematical. No matter what you say on your TikTok, it's gonna happen. No matter what you say with your little 35-something or 40-something friend females, no matter what you guys are plotting in your little separated apartments, doesn't matter. The math will come to bite you. The math is headed toward a torrent of white babies and people who will be cognitively sick. You won't believe the radicalism that's coming. In a way, we've overdone it. In a way, we've overdone it. But it's because the left was so crazy. The left has been so insane that we had to raise the next generation, on good cultural milk.
Actually, homogenous neighborhood. This song was very much giving pick me. I thought that we learned our lesson with the she wears short skirts, I wear t-shirts, the pick me song of all pick me songs. This is that in the different font, but more worse.
How terrible is it that a female is occupying her actual role in the world, which is to be an object of desirability? Like, you can make the world a living nightmare for your husband, or you can make the world a very pleasant experience. And somehow 60% of the female population decided out of nowhere that they had to make males suffer. When you can make us happy so easily. I mean, it's kind of offensive just how easy it is for a female to make a man happy.
I understand, not to mention the blatant disrespect that it is to put a song about Travis Kelce's over a Jackson 5 interpolation.
Oh, racially insensitive. So she has a song with the Jackson 5 music or whatever?
This all feels so blatantly obvious to me, the pipeline that we are sliding down, especially with her bestie. The same week that the album was announced, Lana Del Rey came out with this cover.
Bro, what have we done? I did this. We did this. The right does this. For years, it was an edgy thing of the side internet to have these profile picture with just 1940s wifey type of imagery with like old school philosopher, European thinkers of the 18th century. People have been developing an aesthetic of the past and a kind of the time were great then. And now Lana Del Rey is picking some of it. Sydney Sweeney is taking some of the race and gene stuff. And Taylor Swift is taking some of the race stuff. It's like, bro, there's no amount of winning that's bigger than this. It can't even fit in my head. I can't take all of this fucking winning. Why? Why did it take 10 years to transform internet edgy movements about the truth, the pursuit of the truth of biology, and it took 10 years for the mainstream to ingest it and just spit it back at the whole world? This is mimetic success. I claim it. I'm happy. I did this. Chronic Boom says, Lana Loyalist did this. I did a lot of it. I did a lot of it.
The fuck? I feel like I'm...
And this girl is feeling it. This girl is feeling our revolution. But it was inevitable. Your whole movement is based on hate. You hate males. You want to make them suffer. You want to submit them to your will. You want to accumulate property independent of them, and you're alarmed when Taylor Swift does the contrary. Your movement is a movement of hate, and it could only fail. Your movement is a movement of hate against the 50% of the population that has still power, intelligence, genius, creativity, cultural influence on a much longer cycle basis than you do. Because we can speak for 80 years. Papa JF can still be here in 40 years from now, continuing rambling the same stuff. You won't. You'll be out of the TikTok game. Because you won't be cute in 10 years from now.
On the show Pranked and also on Black Mirror, it's a crossover episode. This is where I'm going to add, you know, the comment that Travis Kelce made about him being honored to play football for Orange Man. And this is where I'm also going to answer your question. Well, does she owe us her political opinions? She's just a pop star. Well, yes, she does. She is a white woman with one of the most massive platforms in our world today. In Miss Americana, she platformed herself as an ally and monetized off of that. So do I expect a white woman with the biggest
platform? You got betrayed. You got betrayed, and this is what you fucking deserve, because your political belief is based on the betrayal of men. And now you have women starting to dissociate. Your movement is falling. The cracks are showing up. It will start with the most beautiful woman, because the most beautiful women are those who have most to lose in the communistic gender revolution. Because the most beautiful woman, they won the game. You want them to feel guilty and forced to play the losing game of averages. The losing game of let's count on the state to care for our children. The losing game of hate your husband so you won't be able to get a true Chad. You lost.
Platform in the world to make moves with politics, yeah. I do.
And so you have lost an ally. You have been fooled by this ally. She cashed in on her displayed leftism as long as it was paying out. But then when the shovel meets the road, she followed her own instincts and her own interest rather than your communistic pool. And that is absolutely white-pilling. That that these most leftist, far left, extremist women are starting to be alarmed at the signaling that they see is absolutely comforting, because it's very early. It will take 20, 30 years before we literally go back to, you know, classic housewife pictures and ads, passing the aspirator. But it's coming. We're going there. We're going back there. It's the math. They make more babies. So people are more like this in the next generation. 20 years, it only takes 20 years. They make more babies. There's more of them. There's more of the males that made babies with the females. There's more of the females that are willing to be like this. And the math is added there. Rodi Lacid says, see how she thinks Taylor owes her something. JF, I've been listening to you for years. Time for you to send me a super chat. You owe me. Well, no, I do not send super chats. But thank you for your commentary, Rodi Lacid, and for your loyal viewership. Rodi Lacid, you know, I remember this nickname for as long as I've been doing streaming. I don't remember a time where there was no Rodi Lacid. Maybe on Twitch in 2014. Maybe there wasn't Rodi Lacid on that chat. But you came so early. So yeah, for those of you who would like to throw money at me, go on Patreon right now. Go on Subscribestar. I am more enthusiastic than ever to continue my commentary when we see how much winning we've been causing. And don't just throw a super chat at night. Throw me some money on the monthly basis, because I created this. I pushed for memes that would snowball. And we're in the snowball right now, and it's very enjoyable. And if you want to just reward me with money for my past work, go give me a Subscribestar or Patreon donation. You can do a one-time payment or a monthly donation. It will keep me going. And today should be just a day of celebration, because the left is shaking. They're kind of deluded. They think it's Trump and they... No, it's not Trump. It's bigger. The cultural moment is veering. We are at derivative zero. The peak has been achieved. It's going down. The left will lose more and more power over cancel culture, over shaming tactics. And they will only really come back when they start siding with the white worker again. And that is that is exciting, because there is no way back for you guys before you kneel to us and say, sorry, white males, we have been stupid to go against you. Right News Network says, Jeff lost a Bitcoin not getting Max on. But I would love to get Max Kaser on the show. Someone said he would send me a Bitcoin if I did. I'm making the best efforts. I've written to Max Kaser an email. I've sent him a tweet. I've been trying to work hard to convince him, and I've been writing this email and this tweet in a way that I think could be appealing to him. But we do need... We don't have a response from him, so I don't know. I will try my best. Of course, I want a Bitcoin. Of course, I want a Bitcoin donation, but it may not work. It's the decision of Max Kaser whether he wants to come. I think I could do a very high-quality interview. I think it would be a good investment for him, not necessarily because we're going to get massive crowds, but I think it's going to be a historical interview, because I want to go at the depth of who is Max Kaser? Who is this human being deep inside? Because you don't get into this whole donor thing where you give Bitcoin to everyone. You're not that kind without having some deep roots of kindness and of kind of Western morals within you. To be so enthusiastic and so outward, I want to psychologically analyze Max Kaser in this interview. Hopefully it can happen. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being with me. And go subscribe to Patreon or Subscribestar at the $20 level if you'd like to be in our private chat every day on Discord. This is available to those who subscribe. The links to Patreon and Subscribestar are in the description below. Bye-bye.